Hi everybody, welcome to our morning devotions. Today's chapter is Matthew chapter 17. Let me read the passage for us before I share some thoughts from Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Then why did the scribes say that first Elijah must come?" He answered, "Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, kneeling before him, said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures, and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire, and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were greatly distressed. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. When you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." Amen. A number of things take place in today's chapter, but for today's devotion, I want to focus on verses 14 through 20, where Jesus heals a boy with a demon. In the verses just prior to that, Jesus, Peter, James, and John have a powerful experience with God in what's referred to as the Transfiguration. And when they come down from the mountain, they see a large crowd. From that crowd comes a man who falls on his knees before Jesus and begs that Jesus heal his son, who is suffering from seizures that also lead him to other kinds of harms and dangers. He goes on to say that Jesus' disciples had been trying to heal the boy, but for whatever reason, they could not. Fortunately, this seems to be light work for Jesus, because in verse 18, it simply says that Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. This is a bit of a side note, but it's interesting to note here that initially, the boy's condition is described as a physiological issue, seizures that lead to terrible suffering. But then in verse 18, we see that Jesus rebukes a demon, and that leads to healing. If I remember correctly, Pastor Mike may have made a similar observation in a previous devotion, in a previous chapter of Matthew, but I just think it's worth pointing out again that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes physical illnesses and conditions can have a spiritual influence. It requires a certain level of discernment to know the difference. It's not to say that anytime you're sick, you're under some kind of spiritual stronghold or oppression. But I point this out to simply say that spiritual things can and do influence physical things. So our spiritual well-being can influence our physical well-being. Spiritual healing can contribute to physical healing. This isn't the main point of this devotion, but I just wanted to point that out. I think it's an interesting thing. It's an important thing for us to know. The main point of today's devotion is what Jesus says in verses 17 and 20. It's about faith. After hearing that the disciples couldn't heal the boy, Jesus says, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" And then a couple verses later, when his disciples sheepishly ask him why they couldn't cast out the demon, Jesus says to them, "Because of your little faith." We can see from Jesus' response that faith clearly played a big role in what has happened here. In fact, Jesus goes on to say that if we have faith even the size of a grain of mustard seed, which, to be clear, is very small, then we can do great things. Now, given this, what exactly is faith? I think faith is a word that's often misunderstood today. In our present day, it's often used to mean something more like wishful or positive thinking, or it just simply refers to a religion, you know, such as the Christian faith or faith groups. But the truer, more accurate understanding of the word faith is trust. So when we talk about having faith in God, it's not just about believing he's there or some kind of wishful thinking that he will do something or that something will happen. It's about trusting him to do something. Now, here's the thing about trust, and therefore also faith. Trust is always based on some level of proof that comes from knowledge and or experience. For example, whenever I lay down on my bed to sleep at night, I trust, you know, I have faith that it won't collapse. I don't know for sure, but I trust that it won't collapse. Now, where does that trust come from? Well, it comes from both my knowledge of the bed and my experience. It comes from knowing that the materials for the bed frame are currently in good condition. I carefully assembled it. The instructions indicate that I'm far from exceeding the weight capacity of the bed, and nothing in my experience so far has indicated that it might collapse. Again, do I know for a fact that it'll hold me up? Technically, no, since, after all, none of us can see into the future. But I trust in the structural integrity of my bed based on information and experience, and therefore I will sleep soundly on this bed because I trust that it's going to hold me up. A similar principle applies to our faith in God. Our faith in God grows stronger the more we know about him and the more we experience him. The more time we spend in his presence, reading the word, praying, worshiping, serving, encountering him both personally and corporately, the more our faith grows, because both our knowledge and experience of him will grow. We'll see and know more and more clearly with greater certainty that he is a good God, a powerful God, an all-knowing, all-wise God who loves us, cares for us, and works for our ultimate good. And naturally, as we come to know and experience these things more and more, and therefore as our trust grows, as our faith grows, the more certain we'll be that he can and will do great things, such as healing. Knowing all of this, I think we can better understand why Jesus responds so strongly in verse 17. Basically, Jesus is saying his disciples should know better. They've been traveling with him, witnessing his works, receiving his teachings, observing his day-to-day character, and yet they had completely missed the point. They didn't really actually, at this point, know God. They didn't know who he was, therefore they didn't have faith. My hope for all of you, all of us today, and of course each day, is that we'll grow and develop a strong faith, a stronger faith each and every day. Let's not be like the disciples who, even though they were in the presence of Jesus for so many days and to that capacity, they didn't actually know who he was. They didn't know who God is, despite having basically a front row seat. Instead, let's seek to know God deeply and personally, both through knowledge and experience. And as our faith grows in this way, may we also join in, be a part of what God is doing, the great works he's doing in and around us. Let me pray to wrap us up. Father, we thank you for this time in your word today. Lord, I pray that this time in your word, that these words that we read, the words that we meditate on, the way that we respond and pray, that all of this would contribute to our knowledge of you. And from there, greater faith, greater trust, dependence on you, faith to believe that you can and will do great things. And so, Lord, grow our faith, not only in times like this, but as we worship together corporately, as we spend other times in prayer, serving, encountering you in all sorts of ways. May our faith grow. And with it, Lord, may we grow to believe in what you are able to do. And we might see and join in all the great things that you'll do, Lord. So we thank you. Thank you that we can come to know you and experience you personally and deeply. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.